Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, O Yah, our Heavenly Father, and your Son, Rebbe Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. Father, we want to thank you, first and foremost, for the blessing of life this day, Father, this beautiful Shabbat day, Father, that You have taken time to commune with those, Father, who love you and are obedient to your word. Father, I ask now that you forgive us for all of our sins. Forgive me for my multitude of sins, Abba Yah, that I have committed against you, Father, knowingly as well as unknowingly, Father. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy, for always hedging us all up, Father, for being that light unto our feet and that lamp unto our path, that cloud and that pillar, Father, to lead us and guide us through this wilderness, Father, of life that we all are experiencing. Just ask you, Father, now that you look after our Ema, that you look after our Zakanes, our Zakanas, all the brothers and sisters, the children, the grandchildren within the universal house of Beth Yahweh, as well as your little humble camp here in Baltimore, Maryland, Father, that you continue to shine upon us, Father, that you continue to lift up your countenance towards us, Father, and show us your mercy and peace, Father. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters, Father, that throughout the week that we struggle together, we pray together, we break bread together, and Father, that you continue to lead us and guide us, Father. That's all that we can ask for, Father, that you continue to lead this little flock, Father, throughout the hills, the peaks, the valleys, the highs, the lows, Father, and through all the different struggles, Father, that we go through mentally, physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually, Father. We thank you, Father, for not letting us go, Father, for not leaving us sometimes up to our own devices, Father. I thank you, Father, protecting my two brothers this week, Father, from what could have been serious harm to them, Father. Father, you are so merciful, Father, that you look out to us, Father, even at times when we are being our most careful, Father. Sometimes, Father, you let us know for sure that your angels are sent down to guide us, to guard us, to protect us, Father, even from ourselves, Father. I thank you for that, Father, because you are merciful. We don't even want to think of what the outcome would have been, Father, that bus has hit your two sons, Father. So we are thankful for your mercy. As my brother said earlier this week, we was having a thankful Thursday with you, Abba Yah, and it felt so good, Father, to feel your spirit, your joy, your love, your embrace, Father. Thank you. I thank you for the multitude of messages that go out throughout the week, Father, to give us edification from our Ema, from our Zakanes, and that, Father, I hope that we hear those messages, Father, that have been coming forth through the airways, Father, that we heed, Father, to the voice, Father, to the messages, Father, that you have been giving us, Father, to get our hearts, get our souls, get our minds right. No, Father, sometimes these bodies are afflicted, Father, but in the ways that we can get our bodies right, Father, help us, give us the strength, Father, fill us up. You know, Father says that when we are weak, Father, you are strong. I thank you for bringing our Zakane through his procedure, Father, without any, my brother says one of my favorite things to say, Father, any hurt, any harm, or any danger. We also thank you for leading our dear brother, our brother Baruch, through his time in the military, Father, to see him through, Father, without any affliction whatsoever. Yes, I know my brother's body may not be the same as it was back in the day, but Father, you know what? He's not maimed. He's not mangled, and he's not wounded, Father. You saw him through that time, Father, and we thank you for hedging him up through that time to see his retirement, Father. I'm very happy for my brother. But Abba Yah, as we embark on your journey through this word, the second meal for this Shabbat day, Father, I thank you for the previous meal that we received, Father, and I just hope, Father, that your spirit be here amongst us still and to guide us. Guide the mouth of the teacher, Father, and open the mind of the teacher, Father, so that your word can be brought forth. This we ask you, Father, B'Shem Rabbi Malek Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Baruch Atah Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the Universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat Shalom, family, once again. It's your brother, Ahab Al, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the fifth of my 6 weeks of being a vessel to bring forth the word and the message that Abba Yah has for us. And this is our study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the topic of today's lesson, my brothers and sisters, is Abba is with you throughout your afflictions. And you know, we had a good conversation, as my brother mentioned last night, at our leadership, our priest fellowship study. You know, brothers opened up and, you know, talked about some things that, you know, they were going through, some things that they had gone through, some things, you know, just life. You know, we sat down after the lesson, after getting that meal, and had some good dessert, just talking about life and the challenges that life brings. And, you know, I want to start this off by echoing what my brother mentioned last night, you know, with the sister, our dear sister down at university, who, you know, usually she's very upbeat, you know, and if you see her, she's like, shalom, brother, shalom, brother, shalom, brother, you know, but one day her spirit was down, you know, and she just so happened to encounter a brother, and when she encountered that brother, you know, the brother did what we as your mores in Beth Yahweh are called to do, and that is to pick up your burden sometimes, to help relieve you from your burdens. And it's not that we are at times burdened, because I ran into the same brother later on that week, and the brother shared with me he needed to talk. He got some things on his mind, some things on his chest, some things on his heart that he needed to get off. But at the same time, he didn't allow that. When called upon to do his duty, when called upon to act in the role in which he was divinely called to do, he did not hesitate. He didn't say, nah, I can't talk to you right now. I got my own stuff going on. I ain't feeling it myself right now. He didn't commiserate. He didn't hesitate. The first opportunity he had, he did like what all state does. Put your trust in Yahweh. Lay it right here, and I'm going to bring it to him on your behalf. But you ain't got to deal with it no more. Like the scriptures say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, take up my yoke. My burden is light. And that's what we are called to do, family, on your behalf. But we can only work in that way if you allow us to. If you would please trust Yahweh and give his sons the opportunity to help. We're not perfect, not by a long shot. We are flawed, very flawed. But when it comes down to acting within our stead, it is our absolute pleasure to be there for you when you need us. All you got to do is say so. All you got to do is call. All you got to do is give the word. And we will be there for you. We're not called, again, not to be perfect in the sense of flawless. No man is called to do that. Save Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. But from Adam all the way on down to whoever will be the last soul brought into this existence, in this realm, on this earth, he will be flawed in some way. He will have an issue. Moshe, as great as he was, fell so short. Yahweh would say, you ain't getting into that promised land. Yes, you spent these 40 plus years dealing with these Hebrews and these Israelites, these children of mine. But no, when it was time to honor me and when it was time to lift me up, you didn't do it. So therefore, Moshe, you can't make it in. We talked the other day about Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. After slaying all the prophets of Baal among the nation of Israel, when he got the word that Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, he ran. And these are still the two spirits that we are waiting for to arrive on the scene before the coming of Moshiach. But they were flawed. So flawed that the angel had to come and reprimand Eliyahu. What are you doing here? Are you out your mind? Have you lost it? You done ran? After all that valiant work, after you performing miracles in the midst of the nation of Israel, you ran? You lost faith? You didn't trust that I could deliver you from that? You let words scare you? But that didn't stop Yahweh from saying, before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh arrives, I'm sending Eliyahu Hanavi. So the point that I'm trying to make to you all, my beloved family in Beth Yahweh, don't suffer alone. You don't have to suffer alone. You are not alone. You got brothers who are chomping at the bit to go to war for you in the spiritual realm and then even in the physical realm. Had a funny experience. A brother Ivy was down at the hospital getting himself prepared to come on board with us. And we had a gentleman who tried to take some property outside the hospital, property that is under my responsibility, as well as, you know, one of my other brothers and another brother, okay? And as I went out the door to stop my man from taking the property, which he had already gone across the street, well, my brother who was down there saw and witnessed the scene, he didn't hesitate not one bit to be like, yo, I got your back. Found out, because I didn't know that initially when Ariel told me what Brother Ivy had done, I was like, what? I was like, my man, my mellow. He didn't know what I was going out there for, say that I had to run out there for a situation, but to know that that brother had my back. I mean, that's the love, the dedication, the assurance that we have in one another. If you are going through something, anything spiritually, family, whether great or small, it doesn't matter. Call on your brothers. Have faith in Yahweh. Don't have faith in us. Trust in Yahweh. Don't trust in us. But doggone it, as my brother said a couple of weeks ago, utilize the tools that you have at your disposal. You know, what good is all of this information, all of this experience, all of this weaponry, all of these teachings, if you're not going to use them at the time that you need it? You know? So, anyway, Abba is with you throughout your afflictions, family. And the keynote here is this. And this we cannot forget. We cannot overlook. We cannot lose sight of this. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. He didn't say few. He didn't say some. He didn't say a little. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, and this is it, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all, family. And let's take a gander at the word for afflictions, okay? so we know exactly what we are up against. Excuse me, pardon me. But he says many. He ain't say few. He ain't say a little. He said many, mucho, a lot, a lot. You're going to go through afflictions. This is the life of the righteous. Those who believe in Rebbe Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach, as well as those who believe in keeping the commandments of the Torah. Afflictions. To be afflicted, right? It's Hebrews, the Hebrew sections family. It's number 7451, he said. Bad. That's the first thing it says. From bad. Ra'ah. Ra'ah is bad, or as a noun, evil, naturally or morally. This includes the second feminine form as adjective or noun. Adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displeasure, to be displeased, distress, evil, great, grief, exceedingly grief, grievous, harm, heavy, hurt, hurtful, ill, ill-favored, mock, mischief, mischievous, misery, not, naughty, noisome, to not be pleased, to be sad, or sadly things are going to happen to you, sore, sorrow, trouble, vex, wicked, wickedly, wickedness, wicked one, worse, worstest. Worser, wretchedness, wrong. Okay, we are going to go through troubling times. The brother used to say, troublous times are coming. We know this. Let's take a look at it in the ancient Hebrew lexicon, right? If you have it. And 7451 is the resh and the ayin, right? To grieve, bad, right? But look at what it says. Something dysfunctional, wrong, evil, or wicked. Something dysfunctional, wrong, evil, or wicked. He said you're going to go through many of these things, family. Many of these things. Ra'ah, to be bad by hurting, doing an evil action. Sometimes you're going to do evil actions. Dysfunctional actions, don't look at it enough. Hollywood's and sometimes you're going to do things that just ain't right. But that's also part of your affliction. So he says in his word that many are those things. But he also says this. And let's get the word for deliver. Says Yahweh is going to deliver you from all of them. And that's Hebrews 53:37. That's not Saul. Not Saul. And I like this word. A primitive root to snatch away, whether in a good or a bad sense at all. To defend, deliver yourself, escape without fail, part, pluck, preserve, recover, rescue, rid, save, spoil, strip. Surely take out. So he's letting you know, I'm going to snatch you out of it. I'm going to get you out of those situations. But you got to trust. You got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to. How do you know that Yahweh is a savior? Yahweh is a deliverer if you ain't in those situations? How can you expect to not go through anything? What are you going to learn if everything is given to you? Look at how many people. Look at second generation athletes. I'm going to use sports for an example. Because you have very few second generation athletes whose fathers were athletes, who were the first to come up, who have ever really amounted to anything in sports. You know why? Because whereas the father had adversity, he had to overcome. You hear like some of this, my father was never there. One said my parent was never there at any of my sporting events. None of them. But I had to have the inner resolve to overcome the lack of parental support. I had to dodge bullets. in order to get to the practice field. I had to fight every day. I had to deal with being bullied, whatever it was. I had to deal with extreme poverty. A brother within my age group, 50s, said he grew up with having to use an outhouse and had dirt floors. He grew up in the 70s in the South. Save when I went to Jamaica to visit my grandmother in the country, I never experienced that. Not in this United States of America. An outhouse, no sir. A dirt floor, no sir. But there are people who grew up like that and still grow up like that in parts of this country. But back to the point I'm making, their children don't know that adversity. They had that silver spoon in them. So watch how many of these people who their children now are reaping the benefits of the labors that they had. What, look at some of them. Look at Magic Johnson's child. What he has decided to do with his life after living off of his father's prosperity. Not many of them are as successful as their parents. Why? Because they didn't have the struggle. They didn't have the inner resolve. They didn't go through what they went through. You grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth, so you can't appreciate lack if all you ever had was gain. When we hear some of the stories from Sheva El, always is sharing stories about his mother and his father and the things that they lacked, but yet was still able to provide enough for them, for him and his siblings. But what they couldn't give to him necessarily in riches, physical riches, they gave him memories. They gave him life lessons, which are far more valuable than silver and gold. Sure, silver and gold is nice, but to instill within your child a sense of direction, whether they follow the advice or not, on showing them how to navigate the seas of life, that's invaluable. Like the scripture say, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. So you hear through that brother all the time what his mother and father instilled in him. Whether he followed all their advice or not, still to this day, those words ring loud within that brother's head. So loud, he talks about it all the time. I had the opportunity when I came into the office the other day, you know, there's two good videos that I watched, and I really loved them. I really loved them. You know, one of the things that Mr. Evans said, you know, where does this notion come from that Abba won't give you more than you can bear? Where does it say that? Where does it say that? He's just going to give you just enough. No, to the contrary, Abba going to redline you. He's going to push you to the point. When we look at Job and what Job went through, he was intentionally putting things upon Job to prove Satan wrong. Because the challenge was, I can get him to curse you to your face. I can get him to destroy his own soul by cursing the mighty one. That was the challenge. The challenge. The only thing Satan was off limits was he could not have his life. But everything else, the door was wide open. Wide open. And Job is one of the biggest books in the Bible. And 90% of it is everything that he went through. But we learn that it was for his edification. It was for his learning. And we're going to see some things today. And the other video was about stop having a victim's mentality. And it went through various scriptures where the interpreter whoever's writing that particular edition writes it from the perspective of a negative. I, as opposed to saying, I am a victim, I am victorious. As opposed to focusing on your circumstances, focus on what happens at the end. Hours plus worth of scriptures, many of which came from the Psalms, and we see David going through his struggles in the Psalms. His beloved, Abba's anointed, his beloved, went through some stuff, not of his own doing. When Saul was coming after him, Saul ain't had no reason to be upset with David. None whatsoever. David was a good servant to Saul. He was humble, and even when David had the opportunity to take his life, he said, I would never put my hand to do harm to an anointed. And Saul wanted to kill him. Saul wanted him destroyed for no reason whatsoever than jealousy, envy. Saul had slain thousands, thousands, but David had slain tens of thousands. Imagine you being the king and one of your underlings is getting all the praise. And Saul wasn't no desk king. He wasn't sitting. Saul was out there warring too. He's like, hold up. I'm out here warring for them. David getting all the praise. I'm out here warring too. So a brother, when I came in the office the other day, asked me a question. One of my Moorish brothers down there, right? One of the Bates. Moses, they call him, right? He hit me off with have you ever heard of Amor Fati? And I was like, what? He's like, Amor Fati. I was like, no, I never heard of that. He said, well, look it up. I said, well, how do you spell it? He's like, A-O-N. I said, okay. So I looked it up. And the term is a term that actually comes from the Stoic philosophy. If you know anything about the Stoic philosophy, it's not about not showing emotion, not feeling, but it's about having the proper mindset through life circumstances where you don't allow yourself to get too high, you don't allow yourself to get too low. But, you know, he gave me this term and he said, look it up, it'll be helpful. And it was just out of the blue. So it's a Latin term, amor meaning love, fati meaning fate. You know, it says love of one's fate. And when you look into it, just a brief thing before we get into the scriptures. Amor fati is a Stoic mindset of accepting what happens to us and making the best of it. It is the love of fate, the acceptance of challenges, and the ability to see the positive in any situation. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all know, last year, this time, what circumstances I was in. My middle child was in the hospital with a dying heart in her body. About a year ago this time, and she needed a heart transplant. Right. And remember, my prayer was, Abba, fix the heart that she has in her. Y'all know that was my prayer. I didn't hide that. I begged for y'all prayers. I begged for my family's prayer. I needed my family's prayer. Abba did not answer my prayer because I asked him to fix her heart. He said, no, it's unrepairable at this point. It cannot be fixed. But I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to find a replacement heart for her. I'm going to remove that old failing heart. And I'm going to put another heart within her. So let me share with y'all the journey afterwards, if I haven't shared at that point. But I believe I shared with y'all, right? Once they placed the heart within her, there were significant and serious complications. The heart wasn't finding its rhythm. And they needed it to find its rhythm. And there were certain things that they could do, but it would have scarred the new heart within her and would have led to permanent damage of the new heart. So they were trying to avoid that. So, first let me backtrack why it's important, why I love my family, Beverly Highway. From even the time I was seeking out, there were those who were willing to make a 4-hour journey to see us in New York to make sure that we offend the word. One of which is still here. We call him Yaquel. Well, my daughter, I'm sitting there with her mother, and we're talking. We prayed. Before I could sit down good, because my mother was already there, I was a couple minutes behind. Before I could sit down good, bam, who comes through the door? One of our lifelong friends, Malcolm. Sat there with us until we had to leave. We all had to leave at one point. We were hungry, took us, fed us, prayed with us. But was such an aid and support. Another day I come up to visit my baby, make sure she's all right. And again, this is still while they're trying to get this heart to find its rhythm. Come to the charge nurse and I say, she said, well, what are you here for? I said, I'm here to see my daughter Naomi. Right? She said, well, somebody's already in there with her. You can't go in, only one visit at a time. I said, well, can I at least peek in and just see her, please? And she was like, okay, peek in. Man, who's in there? Another lifelong friend. Sister Samari. She's ready to come out the room. Like, no, sis, you stay. She said, no, bro, I'm going to leave so you can stay with me. I said, no, she's with Auntie. Auntie, you stay with her. So the nurse softens up, I'll make an exception this time. You could go in the room. A child makes a request. Can y'all sing one song for me? She says, for a baby, what? Hallelujah. He's on my soul, Yahweh. By the time my sister and I got finished, the whole floor was at the room. They didn't know the song. It's a Beth Yah original. But by the time we finished, if they knew the words, they'd have been singing along with us. You don't know how much you can depend. And I'm saying this because Yahweh Spirit, our lives, family, next Wednesday will be a year. A whole 365 days if Yahweh spare all our lives. And I just want to thank all of you in advance. Because it would not have been possible without your prayers, without your fasting, without your support, family. It would not have been possible. I stood on y'all's shoulders and y'all helped me up. Y'all don't know how much your support meant to me. Y'all don't know. Y'all have no idea how you all were the light in my time of despair. How much I cried out to Yahweh. I said, man, I'm in my 50s. Take me. I'm good. If I could have traded places, if it was like a kidney where I could just swap mine out, and even though mine ain't probably worth 2 cents, but I would have swapped mine out, same thing. I know her mother would have swapped hers out, her sisters, her family, y'all. But we couldn't have done it without your love, without your support, without your prayers, without your encouragement. Appreciate each and every one of y'all for what you did. Everyone that went to visit, everyone that called, everyone that sent a text, everyone that sent a prayer, everyone that had it in mind. I can't thank you all enough, my family in Bethia. I can't. I cannot. And it's been a long road that we have been walking together all these years, family. And I pray that we continue to walk even longer together. That we continue to be there for each other in the happiest of times. And in the most distressful of times. You know, it's like that song. I know we can make it, Beth Yahweh. I know we can. I believe in Beth Yahweh with all my heart. I really do. Because I know Abba Yah is here. It's not called the house of Yahweh for nothing. It was called that before I came in. And I pray that even after I close my eyes, it will remain Beth Yahweh. But I want to thank each and every one of you for everything that you have done throughout my times of struggle. All my struggles, I appreciate you all. Throughout all my afflictions, I appreciate you all. You have been a shelter for me in a time of storm, Beth Yahweh. But again, you know, one of the things that we have to know and understand and have the assurance in is that even though we're going to go through trials, tribulations, afflictions, evil, commit evil, do things, that we're going to be delivered from them. And I like how that word deliverance is not, it's not the word for salvation, but how there was a story that I watched yesterday about a woman in Texas. She was mowing her lawn. I don't know if any of y'all heard it, right? She's on her lawnmower, and then a snake, a deadly snake, dropped out of the sky onto her arm as she's mowing her lawn, sitting on her tractor lawn. She said it wrapped around her arm. This is a real story now. She said that it started to snap towards her face, and she's there screaming hysterically. The man said, her husband said, she wasn't even speaking English, how hysterical she was. All he heard and could understand, snake on my arm, but she said everything else was in a different language. So I could just imagine her level of panic. It's a deadly snake. It's wrapped around her arm. But she said, out of the sky, I guess the hawk who had it, it somehow got out of the hawk. The hawk came down, which a hawk is none other than a type of eagle. It's just a smaller eagle, smaller bird of prey. You got the big ones and you got the little ones. Swooped down out of the sky and fought the snake off of her arm. Now, she got scarred up from the hawk trying to grab the snake out of her arm, but she was deliberate. That hawk came down and snatched it off of her arm, and she said the snake was continually trying to bite at her face, and she said at one point her glasses is what blocked it from actually biting her. So just imagine that, family. But that's just to give you an example of what that deliverance from Yahweh is like. You could be in the most dangerous, perilous situation. Just imagine you out there minding your business and a deadly snake drop out of the sky onto your arm. But Yahweh sent the hawk. What did he say? He's going to protect us, bear us up on eagle's wing. Well, that hawk came out of the sky, snatched that snake off of her arm. And even though her arm was scarred up from the hawk trying to get to that snake, she was delivered from it, from sure death, because it was a poisonous snake. She was delivered from it. John 16:33, and it reads, and I'm going to start reading after this, family. Thank you for being with me. These things I have spoken to you. This is John, St. John 16:33. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. Okay, he's forewarning us. He's telling us so that way we can have peace in Rabbi Melech Yahush HaMashiach. See, he did not hide anything. Like my brother said, when you took the dip, now he did say count the cost. I'm not sure many of us knew that scripture before we took the dip. However, we took the dip. And we learned afterwards that there is a cost to taking the dip. There is a price to pay when you are redeemed by Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. There is some affliction that is going to be a... And he did not hide it. Yahweh's word did not hide it. He did not hide it. Now, unfortunately, as my brother says, sometimes you got to... I'm not going to say that is in the details. But if you look at the scriptures, and it's so funny, if you look at the scriptures as a contractual agreement, which it is, but all of the scriptures, that's the fine print in there. You know, after watching that video, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm going off sidebar again, right? A video was sent out, and the video illustrated what it was like on Judgment Day, and Gabriel was standing there with the book opened, right? And everybody, he said he would call forth, right? I call forth so-and-so. You'd have to come up. And he would say, Gabriel, can you find this person's name in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? And all these people coming up, and they were so overjoyed, you know, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then they had that one person who says, depart from me. Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. You know what the Lamb's Book of Life is, family? That is the registry for kingdom citizenship. The registry for kingdom citizenship. And we all want to be found on that roll, in that book, that Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is his personal diary. Think about it. The Lamb's Book of Life is his personal diary. And you know how we get in the Lamb's Book of Life? He said, they that love Yahweh came together often and talked on his name. And he said, a book of remembrance was written And he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst." Taking notes. See, Yahweh got a diary. Rather, Rebbe Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach has a diary that he writes in daily. And when he hears his name, whoosh, whoa, wait a minute, I hear my name down there. What are they talking about? Oh, they talking about this, that, and, okay, I like that. Let me write a note about that. Because then, when we pass on, and we get that tool, and we come to judgment day, you want, oh, yeah, you was talking about me on this day, at this time, this day, at that time, this day. Oh, my goodness. Y'all had a good time talking about me. Oh, y'all got together on Wednesdays, and y'all really, boy, oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, Harper, you were asleep during that time, wasn't you? Oh, boy, that's all right. I'm gonna scratch that line out, but you still good. Okay. You understand what I'm saying, family? Anyway, John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you. This is Yahushua talking. That in me ye might have peace. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So see them Stoics, not sure whether the Stoics came before or after Yahushua HaMashiach, but they were on to something. That in all circumstances, Yahushua says, through tribulation, be of good cheer. He didn't say when you're in tribulation, despair. He didn't say and when you're in tribulation, go, woe is me. He didn't say when you're in tribulation, forget about me. He didn't say when you're in tribulation, focus on your circumstances only. Praise is a powerful weapon. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be out there shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But if you can muster up the strength through the trying times to even whisper hallelujah, do it. Do it. You know, they talk about in defense. I'm in some defense classes, right? And what they talk about in defense is a force multiplier, right? Okay, you're in a situation where, you know, your life is threatened. You want what is called a force multiplier, right? Now I'm talking in the spiritual realm, physical realm as well as spiritual realm. A force multiplier is anything that will give you an advantage over the attacker. He's attacking you with your fist, hit him with some pepper foam. Don't try to fight him back. Don't even the odds. Get a one-up is what a force multiplier is. Well, you know what we are taught to do in prayer? Request prayer so that one will send 1,000 a flight, two will send 10,000 a flight. And we see examples of that in the scriptures. So your force multiplier is praise and prayer. Soliciting praise and prayer from your brothers and sisters. And as was stated through that example, don't sit down and say, I'm all right. I'm good. No, if you hurting, say I'm hurting. If you're burdened, say I'm burdened. If you need help, say I need help. And then when help arrives, sincerely put it on the ones who are charged with taking care of it for you. But again, he says, John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye may have, that you might have peace, shalom. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Psalms 91, family. Excuse me. And I guess it's a little late to say this, but we won't be long today. Psalm 91, it reads, and the title of this, My Refuge and My Fortress. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, see, there's the shadow of death, but then there's also the shadow, the shade of the Almighty. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Huh? So whereas there's a valley of the shadow of death, there's also the shadow of the protection of the Almighty where you can abide in for peace and safety. Psalm 91:2, I will say unto Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my mighty one, in him will I trust. You've got to affirm these things. You've got to believe in these things. I just broke something. You've got to believe it. You've got to affirm it. You've got to declare it. You've got to make it your proclamation. I will say to Yahweh, you are my refuge and my fortress, my mighty one, in him, in whom will I trust? 91:3, surely he shall deliver me. He will deliver me. Speak it into an existence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, even within your head. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. He ain't saying you should trust. He ain't saying you might could trust. He's saying you will trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Not it might be, it could be, it should be, it is. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He's telling you. He ain't asking you. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand in the spiritual warfare. But it shall not come nigh to thee. Do you believe it? Yes or no? Because the less you believe it, the less you trust in it, the more it will afflict you. Because that's the point he's trying to get you to. This is live fire. These ain't blanks he's shooting at you at this point because he needs you to know how to understand how to deal with live fire. As my brother said, this is not a drill. See, drills can only take you but so far. The drill is to help build that muscle memory within you, that circumstantial and situational awareness within you, so that when you're in the live fire situation, you don't think about how to react. You automatically react. You don't hesitate to draw the sword. You don't hesitate to fall back into the shelter. You don't hesitate to get up into the tower. You don't hesitate to call on Rabbi Melech Yahushua Mashiach. You don't hesitate in your faith. You don't waver. And he says again, 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. He says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So he's letting you know, I've already been through it. I've already dealt with it. I've already experienced it. I'm trying to let you know, you good. But are you going to rest in his habitation? Are you going to believe and trust in him? Because the more you resist it, the more it's going to happen. It's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening until at some point you learn a lesson. See, the reason why it keeps going on, because you keep failing the test. He says, 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, we know we can't tempt Yahweh. by going out there and doing foolishness, because sometimes you mind your business and things happen. My brother Deuel taught us sometimes life just happens. But the same way he delivered my brothers from almost being in shock trauma with God knows what injuries, they almost got hit by a bus. And not because a brother was being careless or foolish. Not because he was speeding, not because he was doing anything wrong. He didn't see it. But you know who saw the bus? Yahweh. And you know what he did? He prevented the brothers from being in dire circumstances. See, he protects us even when we're not aware that we need protection. He said, 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. We know this is about Rebbe Melech Yehushua HaMashiach, but you know, guess what? He said, anything you ask the Father of in my name, he will do. Oh, I can hear the, he will answer the prayers I ask for. Well, you have not and receive not because you ask amiss. I ain't hit the lotto yet. Well, I'm going to pose a question with you that was posed to me about, well, what would you do with it? That's what your mouth say. See, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know what you're going to do if you hit that lotto. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know your heart. No, you don't. Stop it. No, you don't. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to take. No, you don't. No, you don't. No. Mm-mm. Sorry. I don't care what you say. No, 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 no. You don't know your heart. Yahweh knows your heart. You don't. So when you don't get certain things, maybe it's because Yahweh's protecting you from certain things. He's protecting you from you. That's why I ain't hit the lotto yet. Because he's protecting me from me. Because he knows I'm going to get giddy with it. You value it more when you work and get up and go do it every day to earn them pennies. Stop it. Don't tell yourself that. Now, when he do give it to you or give a portion of whatever it is to you, then he'll watch and see what you're going to do with it. See, it's just like the man, the talents. I'm reading 91:14 again. Because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we know that's about Rebbe Yehushua Mashiach. But again, anything that we ask the Father of is in his name, it's going to be granted to us too. But see, sometimes things don't come until we are, he is ready for us to receive it. Because now we have gotten to a point where we are worthy of it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let's talk about somebody who has been tremendously afflicted within their lifetime. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, starting the verse. Would to Yah, ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Mashiach. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Moshiach. For if he, simplicity in just trusting in him and having shalom in him, right? For if he that cometh preacheth, I'm reading from the wrong version. I'm giving all these cometh and limits. Hold on, I got to switch to the WEB family. Hold on, bear with me. There we go. Back to 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he who comes preaches another Yahushua, whom we didn't preach, or if you receive a different spirit which you didn't receive, or a different good news which you didn't accept, you put up with that well. For I reckon that I am not at all behind the very best apostles. But though I am unskilled in speech, and yet I am not unskilled in knowledge, no, in every way we have been revealed to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached to you Yah's good news free of charge? I robbed other assemblies, taking wages from them that I might serve you. When I was present with you and was in need, I wasn't a burden on anyone. For the brothers, when they came from Macedonia, supplied the measure of my need. In everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and I will continue to do so. As the truth of Messiah is in me, no one will stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? Yah knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire an occasion, that in which they boast, they may be found even as we. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as Mashiach's apostles. And no wonder, for even Satan masquerades as an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I'm in 2 Corinthians 11:16. I say again, let no one think me foolish, but if so, you receive me as foolish, that I also may boast a little. That which I speak, I don't speak according to the master, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast after the flesh, I will also boast. For you bear with the foolish, gladly being wise. For you bear with a man if he brings you into bondage, if he devours you, if he takes you captive, if he exalts himself, if he strikes you on the face. I speak by way of disparagement, as though we had been weak. Yet in whatever way anyone is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offsprings of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Mashiach? I speak as one beside himself. I am more so, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Five times from the Jews I received 40 stripes minus one. This is Paul recounting what he has struggled. And it ain't over. Three times, this is 11:25, I was beaten with rods. And this is all on behalf of Mashiach. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. I have been a night and a day in the deep. That means he was stranded at sea in the waters for one whole night and a day. Imagine how frightening that was. I have been in travails often, perils of rivers, perils of robbers. Think about this, y'all. This is Paul talking. Perils from my countrymen. Perils from the Gentiles. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brothers. In labor and travail. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. And in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are outside, there's that which presses on me daily. Anxiety for all the assembly. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is caused to stumble and I don't burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. Yah and Father of the Master Yahushua HaMashiach, he who is blessed forevermore, knows that I don't lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas guarded the Damascene city, desiring to arrest me. So imagine this. This is all Paul's been through, many of which aren't even accounted for in the scriptures. But he's letting people know, I done been through some things. I done suffered some things. I done gone through some things. Since I came into this relationship with Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. Because he ain't had no problems before he met Yahushua. He didn't. Paul was a made man among those who practice Judaism because he was doing their work. He was doing their will. He was an assassin, a bloody man against the believers in Rebbe Melech Yehusha HaMashiach. But all praise, glory, and honor be to Yah that he was rescued from that, right? Back again to 1132. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas guarded the Damascene city, desiring to arrest me. Through a window, I was let down in a basket by the wall and escaped his hands. Man, boy, you got to love Paul. You got to love him. 12:1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Master. I know a man in Mashiach 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. Yah knows. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. I know such a man. Again, whether in the body or outside of the body, I don't know. Yah knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my behalf, I will not boast, except in my weakness. For if I would desire to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, so that no man may think more of me than that which he sees in me or hears from me, by reason of the exceedingly greatness of revelations, that I should not be exalted excessively. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh on top of everything that he went through. He's bringing it. He's letting you know he suffered. A messenger of Satan. Let me read that again. By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted excessively, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, that I should not be exalted excessively. Concerning this thing, I begged the Master three times that it might depart from me. He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weakness that the power of Mashiach may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness. He's following the instructions of Rebbe Melech Yehusha HaMashiach. This is why to this day we get to read his words and his testimony and learn from them. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Mashiach's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Last couple of scriptures, family. Going to the book of Acts 27, so that we know that Paul wasn't lying about some of his circumstances. Let's read of a situation that took place in his life. We're going to 27:1. Acts 27:1. When it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners. So he's a prisoner, right? He's going on he's a prisoner. To a centurion named Julius of the Augustan band, embarking in a ship to Adramyttium, which was about to sail to places on the coast of Asia. We put to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, the next day we touched at Sidon. Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him permission to go to his friends and refresh himself. Putting to sea from there, prisoners in this day, don't get that. Putting to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Kypros, because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed across the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days, we had come with difficulty opposite Cnidus. The wind not following us further, we sailed under the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. With difficulty sailing along it, we came to a certain place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. When much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, so not only is he a prisoner, not only has he been through all this stuff in the past, he is now in danger at sea being a prisoner. Because the fast had now already gone by. When you look at the term, the fast in the King James, it's specifically talking about not just a fast, but the fast. So this is happening during the holy season. This is happening to Paul during the holy season, right? When you look up the fast, it will tell you not just any particular fast. It will show you specifically it is the fast that we are commanded to do in the Torah, which is on Yom Kippur. Okay, because the fast had now already gone by, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." So Paul's telling them, look, I know y'all want to take me. I'm a prisoner, but we may not make it through this. We're going to lose the cargo. We may lose the ship, and we also may lose our lives. So Paul is telling them, hey, we in distress. This is looking bad. Okay? But remember now, Paul is not only a prisoner, but he's also in a dangerous situation. Acts 27:11. But the centurion gave more heed to the master and to the owner of the ship than to those things which were spoken to him by Paul. So he ain't listening to Paul. He's like, ah, I don't hear that. You think we can make it, captain? Oh, yeah, we can make it. You're the owner of the ship. You think we can make it? Yeah, we can make it. I've been through this before. Okay. He didn't realize, though. Acts 27:12. Because the haven was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised going to sea from there, if by any means they could reach Phoenix and winter there, which is a port of Crete, looking northwest and southwest, right? So they're saying, nah, we're gonna push on. We're going to push on because this place ain't going to be cool to spend winter in, okay? When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But before long, a stormy wind beat down from shore, which is called an Euryclidean, which is similar to our northeaster that comes up the shore and can wreak havoc. Can wreak havoc. So this is basically a category one hurricane, okay? A category 1-2 hurricane. When the ship was caught and couldn't face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. So now they couldn't utilize the sails. They couldn't utilize the rudder. They just had to allow themselves to float along in the water through these rough and choppy and windy seas. Running under the lee of a small island called Clauda, we were able, with difficulty, to secure the boat. After they had hoisted it up, they used cables to help reinforce the ship. So they're trying to keep this ship in place as much as they can. Fearing that they would run aground on the Cytus sandbars, they lowered the sea anchor and so were driven along. As we labored exceedingly with the storm, the next day they began to throw things overboard. On the third day, they threw out the ship's tackle with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars shone on us for many days and no small storm pressed on us, all hope that we would be saved was now taken away. We gonna die. They were in despair. 21. When they had been long without food, Paul stood up in the middle of them and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and have gotten this injury and loss. Why, believe in prophets, so shall you be established. Believe in Yahweh, so shall you be established. Believe in prophets, so shall you prosper." Paul was a prophet. He wasn't just an apostle. He was a prophet. He told him, man, don't do this now. I know y'all want to get to the destination, but don't do it now. Anyway, 27:22. Now I exhort you to cheer up, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel belonging to Yah, whose I am and whom I serve. Let me read that again. For there stood by me this night an angel belonging to Yah, whose I am and whom I serve. You understand that angel never leaves you? That angel, but do you believe it? Is the question. Do you really sincerely believe that that angel never leaves your side while you're in prison, while you're in peril? Do you believe that you belong to Yah? Because if you belong to Yah, then you need to make this proclamation. Yah is whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, don't be afraid, 27:24. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Behold, Yah has granted you all those who sail with you. So think about it. Paul didn't just save himself. Paul wasn't just saved by the angel. Those other men on the ship were saved with him. Not only are you protected, but those around you are protected. Again, he says, saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Behold, think about it. He's going to stand before Caesar, but Yahweh's protecting him. He's letting you know, I got you. You're in prison right now, and you're going to stand before Caesar, but I got you. Yah has granted you all those. Yah has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, sirs, cheer up, for I believe Yah that it will be just as it has been spoken to me. Do you believe? Do you? Acts 27:26. But we must run aground on a certain island. See, letting them know, it ain't going to be an easy journey. I got you. I'm going to save you and everybody that's with you. But guess what? We must run aground on a certain island. But when the 14th night came, 27:27, but when the 14th night had come, as we were driven back and forth in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors surmised that we were drawing near to some land. They took soundings and found 20 fathoms. So what soundings are, they're like these depth monitors that they had back in the day. It wasn't no high technology, just a piece of weight, a plummet, that when they would drop it and they would let the line go, they would see how much land was underneath the boat to see whether or not they could safely get any closer. So he's letting them know it's 20 fathoms. Not sure how long that is, right? But anyway, they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. After a little while, they took soundings and found 15. So they're getting closer to land. Land is not good for boats, okay? Fearing that we would run aground, this is 27:29, fearing that we would run aground on rocky ground, they let go 4 anchors from the stern and wished for daylight. So now they're even letting go of the anchors. They're praying for daylight. What says they wish for daylight, right? 27:30. As the sailors were trying to flee out of the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea, pretending they would lay out anchors from the boat, from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these stay in the ship, you can't be saved. So even though the ship is in peril, he's letting you know, if you get off this ship, you definitely will not be saved. So even though the ship is in peril and all the people on the ship are in peril, he's like, stay in the ship. I just told y'all. I told y'all not to leave. Y'all ain't listen. I'm telling y'all now, y'all need to listen. Then the soldiers cut away, 27:32. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let it fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul begged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. So he's like, y'all still fast? It's 14 days. How many of us fasted 14 days? Not many. I know I didn't. Acts 27:34. Therefore, I beg you to take some food, for this is for your safety. For not a hair will perish from any of your heads. Now, they're all in disbelief. They're all in distress. But Paul's like, no, we're going to be all right. The angel came and told me, trust, Yah is not a liar. 27:35, when he had said this and had taken bread, he gave thanks. He said, right? In the presence of all, and broke it and began to eat. Then they all cheered up and they also took food. And all, we were 276 souls on the ship. So 276 people along with Paul on this ship. 27:38. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they didn't recognize the land. This is 27:39. But they noticed a certain bay with a beach, and they decided to try to drive the ship onto it. Casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea. At the same time, untying the rudder ropes, hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But coming, Todai Aki, 120 feet. Todai, 20,000 is 120 feet. I just learned something today. Todai Aki, 27:41. But coming to a place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck remained immovable, but the stern began to break up by the violent waves. So think about this. Two seas are coming together, going in and meeting at one point. They ran into some rocks, and now the waves are so forceful as they are jammed into the rock, it's breaking the ship apart. The very same ship that Paul is a prisoner on with 200 and odd people, and now he done told them, we're going to be all right if we stay on this ship. Do you think they're believing that when they had a perfectly good lifeboat that they were jumping into? And Paul said, no, don't get into that. We're going to be saved if we stay on this ship. Doesn't look like it, does it? Back to 2741. But coming to a place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. But Paul said, we're going to be saved. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim out and escape. But look how good Yahweh is. 2743. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, stopped them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should throw themselves overboard first to go toward the land. Now, Paul said, stay on the ship. 2744, and the rest should follow, some on planks and some on other things from the ship. So they all escaped safely to land. Acts 28. When we had escaped, then they learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us uncommon kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us all because of the present rain and because of the cold. So now he's off the ship after being shipwrecked, and now he's cold and rainy on top of it. Just imagine now, is he a prisoner? He done went through a rough journey on the sea, got shipwrecked, he's on the island, and it's rainy and cold. Some of the worst things to experience. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his head. So it just seemed like it's getting worse and worse for Brother Paul, don't it? 28:4. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. So basically, he got what he deserved. He getting what he deserved. He said, no doubt this man is like, what we say, karma. No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped from the sea, yet justice has not allowed him to live. However, 28:5, however, he shook off the creature into the fire and wasn't harmed. But they expected that he would have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But when they watched for a long time and saw nothing bad happen to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. He was a mighty one. So they thought at first, oh, you escaped the sea, but you ain't escaped that snake. Oh, here it is. The things you did in your past that came up to haunt you, they got you now. But then they said, oh, snap, this man ain't bust open and die. Oh, he got to be a god. He got to have superpowers. 28:7. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and courteously entertained us for 3 days. The father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Now, dysentery is bloody diarrhea. Diarrhea is just blood. That's what dysentery is. It's a serious. Not only are you going to suffer from dehydration from having the diarrhea, I hope we're all adults here and I can talk about this, it's in the scriptures, but now you're going to, I forgot what the term is, where now you're losing blood as well, right? You're losing blood. You're losing everything that you need to live, right? That's what dysentery is. The father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul entered into him, prayed, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. He had godlike powers. He went and healed the man. After having encountered a situation where he should have died himself and he was protected from it, he went and healed somebody. But he's still a prisoner. He's still shipwrecked, y'all. His peril ain't over yet. Back to 28:8. The father Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul entered into him, and now, back then, Now we could just go get some Imodium, some Pepto-Bismol if you got upset stomach, indigestion, heartburn, diarrhea. You could just go get some Pepto-Bismol. Back then, you ain't had no Pepto-Bismol. Once, that was a death sentence for you. Until you encountered a man of Yah. The father Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul entered into him, prayed, and laying his hands on him, healed him. Then when this was done, the rest also who had diseases in the island came and were cured. They also honored us with many honors. And when we sailed, they put on board the things that we needed. So not only after losing it, he's in the same situation as Job. Not only after losing everything, he was able to gain them all back and get back on his journey. After 3 months, 2811. We set sail in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the island, whose sign was the Twin Brothers. Touching at Syracuse, we stayed there 3 days. From there, we circled around and arrived at Rhegium. After 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brothers and were entreated to stay with them for 7 days. So we came to Rome. From there, the brothers, when they heard of us, came to meet us as far as the market of Appius and the three taverns. When Paul saw them, he thanked Yah and took courage. Now, a tavern has always been a place to hang out. It's always been. So he then went to a place called the three taverns. When Paul saw them, he thanked Yah and took courage. And when he entered into Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. So Julius took very, Yahweh said Julius did take very good care of this man. 28:17. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leaders of the Jews. When they had come together, he said to them, I, brothers. Now, you got to read Acts 24 through 26 to understand why Paul actually ends up here. Okay, family, that will give you some of the backstory. He had a situation back in Jerusalem with the Jews. The Jews kept trying to come at him and get the people to kill him the same way that they tried to get, you know, to get them to kill Yahushua. And, you know, they found no charge in him, right? So, but the Jews still wanted it. So he's going to appeal his case to Caesar in Rome, okay? So after 3 days, Paul came together. Those who were the leaders of the Jews, when they had come together, he said to them, I, brothers, though I had done nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, still was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem to the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, desired to set me free because there was no cause of death in me. So now we see they wanted to put him to death, right? But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. So now he's appealing as high as the Caesar of that day. Not that I had anything about which to accuse my nation. So he ain't going to accuse them. He's just going to appeal his case because he understands exactly why they want to kill him. He was part of that group. For this cause, therefore, I asked to see you and to speak with you. Because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So he's in prison and he's talking about literal chains. I am bound with this chain because I have spoken to my people hope. They said to me, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor did any of the brothers come here and report or speak any evil of you. So it was already fixed before he even went there. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For as concerning this sect, he's talking about the believers in Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, they're being called a sect now, a cult. For as concerning this sect, it is known to us that everywhere it is spoken, everywhere it is spoken against. So he's saying everywhere they're speaking against the sect. These believers in Yahushua, these believers, they're speaking against them everywhere. They're causing a ruckus. 28:23, when they had appointed him a day, many people came to him at his lodging. He explained to them, testifying about Yah's kingdom, and persuaded them concerning Yahushua, both from the Torah of Moshe and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. When they didn't agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our father, saying, go to this people and say In hearing, you will hear, but you will no way understand. In seeing, you will see, but will in no way perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and would turn again, and I would heal them. Be it known, therefore, to you, that the salvation of Yah is sent to the nations, and they will listen. When he had said these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who were coming to him, preaching Yah's kingdom and teaching the things concerning the Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach with all boldness, without hindrance. Last scriptures, family. Won't be much longer. Going to Romans 8, 31 through 39. And he says, this is Paul, speaking to Rome, the Romans, this is where he is now. He's in Rome. Remember, the book of Acts ends off with him in Rome. This is what he says while he's in Rome, okay? What then shall we say? What then shall we say about these things? If Yah is with us, who can be against us? Now, this is his testimony after having experienced all of this on his way to Rome, where he is writing the book of Romans. If Yah is with us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Who could bring a charge against Yah's chosen ones? It is Yah who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Is Mashiach who died, yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who was at the right hand of Yah, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Mashiach? Could oppression or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced, I am unwavering. I will affirm that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from Yah's love, which is in Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, our master. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one. Trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you, our mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor be unto you, Abba Yah. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. You still come to the garden every day to meet with your sons and your daughters who trust in you. Father, keep renewing our trust. Keep renewing our faith. Keep renewing our love. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for all that you do for us every day, Abba Yah, whether great, whether small, and in between. Father, give us the self-assurance to know that the things, the many afflictions that we go through, Father, are for our benefit. Father, give us the strength and the courage and the resolve to still continue to pray and to praise you in the time of our distress, Father. And Father, give us the confidence to know that you have already delivered us from whatever it is that we are going through, Father. You have delivered Ema from the brink of death. You have delivered Chomi from the brink of death. You delivered my brothers from almost. Father, you are a deliverer. You are a redeemer. You are trustworthy in all that you do, Father. I pray that you open the heart and the mind of Brother Ariel as he brings forth the next. Father, you have blessed us with three double portions in a row. Reverence, love, and now today, by your will, light, Father. Hedge him up, protect him. He has shared with me the afflictions that he is going through. Father, give him the strength that he needs. Give him the power that he needs. Through your son, Rebbe Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. I pray for all my brothers and sisters in my Ema, my Zakanes, that you continue to guard them. Thank you for bringing our Zakanes through his journey once again, Abba. And Father, I just pray that we continue to encourage one another, because there's coming a time quickly where we are truly going to have to trust and rely on you and know that you are with your brothers and sisters. These things I ask you, make us new. In the name of Rebbe Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Royalty. Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand. Word inside my heart. And pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. The power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. And that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Would you let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen? And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. And that you were called out of the dark, into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood. Royalty, royalty, royal, royal.
Royalty,
royalty, royalty, yeah.
chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people.